that's Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 13. Thinking of being fully persuaded, let us read. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let us pray. Father, please be with us, undergird this service now. Help us, Lord. We want You to be heard, to be seen, and Lord, that Your will be done in every heart and life, including mine. And Lord, when we leave, we can say that we've been in the presence of the Lord, and we have been rewarded for it. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. These all died in faith. These, literally referring to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, those mentioned in the previous verses in Hebrews 11, but of course it refers to all of us Christians. These all died in faith. Everyone, the Bible says, appointed a man once to die, and after this to judgment. And they died in faith, once delivered to the saints. That's assurance that they had. They had not received the promises, but they had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. The word persuaded, a very powerful word. It means that they were just that. They were persuaded. They were convinced. They had confidence in the word. They so believed the word that they, without reservation, committed their souls to God, trusting Him and Him alone to save them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob heard the persuasive word of God, and their minds were changed. Their minds were changed about God, about themselves, about the way of salvation, everything. And so will our minds be changed. The word persuaded is a head and a heart word. You see, a person can be persuaded in the head, but not in the heart. And I believe there are many people in churches just like that. Now, there was a story told by a man who, this story well illustrates what it means to be committed. They were persuaded and they committed. And these visitors were at a national mint, and they were in the area where the smelting was going on, the metal was being melted, and one of the workers, one leading this group of people, said to the group, he said, if you put your hand under water and then hold it out, you can pour the molten lead, molten metal over it, and it will not burn it. And the man and his wife were standing there, and he said to the man, he said, sir, would you like to try this experiment? And he said, no, thank you. I will accept your word for it. He turned to the lady and he said, madam, would you like to try the experiment? She said, certainly. She held out her hand, poured the melted metal over it, and then the man turned to the husband, and he said, sir, you believe, but your wife trusted. Did you get it? There is a little difference in that. We may have the head knowledge, but there's got to be that trust, that commitment to God. And I'll never forget when a pastor dealt with me on that, and he told me, he said, you got to trust Him until you're willing to leap into eternity with Him at any time and know for dead sure that He will save you. And that changed my view of salvation, of everything. Well, I didn't have one before that. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were persuaded in head and heart. Now, our persuasion must rest on a secure, eternal foundation, and that foundation is the Word of God. And then not only were they persuaded, but they were embraced. They embraced. And the word embraced, a very interesting word, it means to welcome. It means to hold close. It means to enfold in the arms. It is a greeting where one is overjoyed. They embrace the good news. It's like someone saying, I'm so glad to finally meet you. I'm overjoyed to know you. All of my life I've longed for you. And finally, the longing of my poor, benighted soul is satisfied with abounding assurance. I welcome you into my heart and life. And that's what it means that they embraced. And then they confessed. Now this is a public confession. They were persuaded, they embraced, and they confessed. And it takes all three to be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You confess with the mouth what is in the heart. You receive it. And then they confess that they were strangers and foreigners. Again, the strangers. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He is writing to the strangers scattered. Now, who are the strangers scattered? We find those in Acts 8th chapter, verse number 1, where Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Great persecution had come upon the church at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Listen, everyone, all the believers in Jerusalem fled. They left except the apostles. Now, in Acts 8, chapter verse 4, lets us know why God allowed that persecution to come up on them. And the result of it, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, and the church grew mightily. They just were scattered, but every place they went, they preached the word, churches were established, and Christianity was really growing. But they were scattered, and they were strangers, and that's what it meant. These Jewish people were scattered, and then they were strangers in the area where they lived. And it says that they were pilgrims. A pilgrim is a foreigner who has taken up residence alongside native dwellers. And this is the same language that Abraham used in Genesis, the 23rd chapter, when he was in Hebron. And he went to Heth and asked for a burying place to bury his wife Sarah. He said, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. You see, he said, I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Now, a pilgrim, a stranger, a sojourner is a person who is only in the place where he now is for a short time, a limited time. And while there, the person feels separated from the people and the things that surround him. Listen, we just don't feel at home in this world anymore. Once you're saved, there's something. You're not part of what's going on. You're in it, but you're not part of it. And you just don't feel comfortable. You see, in this world, we Christians are strangers and foreigners. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. See, we cannot feel at home because we belong to another kingdom, another place. We have a home in a faraway land, and that faraway place is heaven itself. And we are thankful this morning for our salvation. Listen, Old Testament saints were persuaded that God's promises to them were true. Abraham was persuaded that God would fulfill his promises to him. Abraham believed God concerning a son. Now, if you would please, turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter, and we're going to read the first 6 verses. We're thinking of Abraham now receiving a promise about a son. And we have to think now that Abraham was a man just like we are, a human being, and God worked in his life. We sometimes think that these were just supernatural people. No, they were average people in whom God worked and made them supernatural. He did a supernatural work in an ordinary person's life, and he can do that in your life or my life. Now, Genesis, the 15th chapter, verse 1, says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Now, Abraham did not have a written Bible like we have. But the word of the Lord came to him in a vision. Let me hasten to say, you and I do not receive the word of God through a vision. If you're having visions, then you need to put that aside, because we have the word of God written in a book. We have it with us here this morning, and we don't need what Abraham, or how God gave it to Abraham. He gave it to him in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield in thy exceeding great reward. Now, in this verse of Scripture, the Lord is speaking. And he told Abraham, said, fear not, fear not. He said, I am thy shield. I'll take care of you. I will protect you. I called you. Nothing's coming your way except it come through me. And I have to allow it to come into your life before it comes. I'm your shield. And then I want you to note, I am thy exceeding great reward. I am your reward. Oh, I want to major on that this morning. You know, sometimes we hear people say, you give, you get, and all of this. And I want you to think, we need to forget about what we're going to get, because we have Him. We have Him. And Him whom to know and know aright is eternal life. Listen, He is our reward. And when you have Him, you're satisfied. We don't have to have the rest of it. Listen, thank God for everything we have. I'm thankful to have shoes this morning, but I want you to know I can serve God in great joy if I don't have them, because He is my reward. And I'm glad. Abraham believed God concerning a son. Now, verse 2. Abraham said, see, God spoke in verse 1. Abraham spoke in verses 2 and 3. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? I don't have a child. And the seer of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He said, the only one around here is this old Eliezer, and he's from Damascus. I know you don't want him. And Abram said, verse 3, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You mean tell me one born in my house is going to be the heir? I don't even have a child. I don't have a promise of a child. I don't have a child. It doesn't seem like I'm going to have one. But in verse 4, the impossible promise that God made to Abraham. Gave him impossible promise. No way it could be fulfilled if you take God out of it. But anyway, in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came unto him. You see, everything was done according to the word of God. Don't miss that. Everything was done according to the word of God. Abraham's faith rests on the word of God. That's where I want mine to rest. Not in circumstances. Not how I feel. Not how I think, perish the thought. But I want it to rest on the word of God. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, or out of thine own inmost being, shall be thine heir. The one who comes from within you is going to be the heir. This could get good. I'm going to let y'all fill in the blanks there. Listen, verse 5, he brought him forth. God took Abraham out where he could see the sky. He brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven. It's always a good way to look. And tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. What a promise. Abraham, yeah, you're going to have a son. There will be an heir. and you will not be able to count the seed. Now this is, goes a little deeper the further we get. And then note verses 15-6. God has made this promise to Abraham. It's an impossible promise. It's impossible for it to be fulfilled through Abraham. But Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham just placed his faith in what God said. Hey, this morning, I have my faith in what God has said. I rest my eternal destiny upon what it says in this book. He counted it to him. God imputed it to him, put it to his account. That word counted is from a root word that means to plait or to weave. It means to entwine like a rope wound together. Now listen to it. You place your faith in God, God's word, and you will be entwined with God, an inseparable union. Listen, a right relationship with God is based on faith. Faith is an inner confidence that God is who He says He is and does what He says He will do. And right actions, good works will follow as natural byproducts. Listen, Galatians 3:6 is almost the same words as Genesis 15:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and he was entwined with God. Hey, one day, one glorious day, I remember, I came to Christ. I didn't know what it all meant, but I fled to Him for refuge. And there was entwined with Christ. An inseparable union. Hey, that time that you turned to Christ, I don't know where it was. You do. Maybe it was at home. Maybe in your automobile, at church. Wherever it was, when you placed that simple faith in Christ, you became entwined with God. An inseparable union. Now, Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed. And his seed. Were the promises made. Not just to Abraham. Abraham would soon die. But that wouldn't end it. Listen, the promise is to his seed. He saith not, and the seeds, as of many. Not seeds. Not plural. But singular. But as of one. Now get this. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Listen, the promise God gave to Abraham in the Old Testament is really a reference to his son who came in the New Testament and who is coming again. You consider Abraham's strong faith about the fulfilling of the impossible promise God made to him concerning a son. God, through an impossible situation, did a great miracle and gave Abraham a son. Hey, I know what some people think. I thought that. I could never be saved. I'm not worthy to be saved. Well, right about that. I don't deserve to be saved. I'm right about that. There's just no way that I can be saved. Hey, but God took an impossible situation and came to me and saved me. And I became entwined with Him. Unworthy, undeserving, but He had love for my wicked soul. Amen. And He had love for yours. And you're here this morning looking fairly happy. Listen. Romans, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 19. Romans 4, you may want to turn there. It comes right after the Old Testament. And right after some books in the New Testament. And Romans the 4th chapter verse 19 says, speaking of Abraham, and being not weak in faith. Now he was weak in every other way. But he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. God gave him this promise where it was impossible to fulfill it through Abraham because his body was dead. It just couldn't be done. Except God is in it. And listen, you got that impossible situation, you say, I can't be saved. But when you put God in it, you could be saved. Listen, people worse than you have been saved. And when he was about 100 years old, his body was dead, about 100 years old. He was past the time of child, father and a child. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now there was a double impossibility. Abraham's body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. No way that he could have a child. But I want you to note what he did in verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Listen, when God said it, he believed it. He didn't even stagger at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. He was not strong in his body. He was not strong in his ability. He was just strong in his faith. The fellow says, well, no point in me being saved. I can't live it. That's right. But listen, it's not in your ability. It's in him. Him. And he was strong in faith and giving glory to God. And that's what we must do. We must remember that. To always give glory to God. Abraham did not understand the how. But he believed the one who had promised. Listen. See, we must not look at the depth of our sin. But we look at the sufficiency of the sacrifice that died on Calvary for us. There's a difference. Now, verse 21. And being fully persuaded, no doubts, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Body dead, Sarah dead, to childbearing, but Abraham believed God. He was fully persuaded. God said it, it could happen. Listen, you have to come to Christ like that. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I don't understand it. God said it, I'm coming. And that's what we have to do, to rest our case with him. He is able. You see, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If we will come, he will do it. Verse 22, therefore it, the faith, was imputed to him for righteousness. That faith was put to Abraham's account for righteousness. And the verses 23 and 24 are really good. I want you to listen. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him. Four words now, verse 24. But for us also. Listen, God looked down the 21st century, knew we would be here this morning, and he said, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Listen, our bodies are not, we don't have the ability. There's no way that we can do it. No way. We don't even understand. But listen, God said if we believe, if we will trust, stick your hand in the water. The lady just put her hand in the water and then held it out to pour the molten metal over it. And she is the one who trusted. He believed. She trusted. You see, we believe this morning, but we need to go a step further and trust. Commit to him. And it says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. That's God's promise to us. If we will do one thing. Doesn't say turn over a new leaf. I tried all that. Listen, it doesn't say we'll do better. It doesn't say we'll move to another street. It just says if we believe on him, if we rely on him, if we trust him, if we commit ourselves to him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Listen, if we will place our faith and trust in him, we will be entwined with God. Isn't that good? Listen, Abraham believed God concerning the Son. He believed God concerning the land. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, again, we read verses 1 through 7. says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Now, he told Abraham, he said, you get, and I will. Sometime we have to get. We follow his leading. And he said, you get from three things. Number one, get out of your country. You have to leave your country. That's not easy. That wasn't easy for a Jewish man to do. And I think of the missionaries that have come through here. They're getting it. They're leaving the homeland. And they're going to a foreign land. They don't have Walmarts and McDonald's and anything. They have a lot of disease and a lot of poverty. A lot of hatred. And yet they go. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. You got to leave your kinfolk, Abraham. And then the big one, and from thy father's house, leave three things, your country, your kindred, and your father's house, and you'll go to a land that I will show thee. Now, you think about faith. I know the missionaries come through. They say, well, we're going to such and such a field, such and such a country, and that's where we're going to work. We haven't had one yet to come to say, you know, we're going, but we don't know where we're going. The Lord just leading us step at a time. I don't think we would be that willing to support those people. I don't know. Maybe they could persuade us, but they know where they're going. But Abraham, poor fellow, didn't know where he was going. Like Columbus, when he left, he didn't know where he was going. He got here, he didn't know where he was. When he returned home, he didn't know where he'd been. But Abraham, he just left. And from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now listen, when God calls, you do not need daddy to take care of you or to guide you. God will do that. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. Did you know that? Did you know that? If you're a family here, family members in church, you need to be thankful for your family that's together. How many of my family have you seen come here since y'all been allowed me this privilege here? Well, they just fill this place up, don't they? Anyway, verse 2, notice. And I will make of thee a great nation. See, there are seven promises in verses 2 and 3. I will make of thee a great nation. That's number one. And I will bless thee. That's number two. I will make the name great. That's number three. Thou shalt be a blessing. That's number four. And I will bless them that bless thee. That's number five. And number six is I will curse him that curseth thee. And seven, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was God's promise to Abraham. You just go to the land that I will show you. And Abraham left home on nothing but the bare Word of God. That's all. I know a fellow who went to Mexico as a missionary. He tried to go through his denomination, his convention, and they said, well, you have a little physical problem. I don't think we can take you. So anyway, he just went. Didn't speak the language. Never been there before. God said, go, and he just went. He got a film, the burning hell, a projector, went down into Mexico, and he said, I slept with him. He said, those fleas almost ate me up. But he said, I stay there and show that film. I could do that. And he stayed there, and he won many of them to Christ and began to pick up a little of the language and so on. But he went. You see, Abraham had a promise from the Lord, and he believed it. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. Abraham left as the Lord has spoken. We do not go without God speaking to us, leading us to go. Don't be presumptuous. And then Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. Man, I like that number. I'm just getting started. Listen, he was... Haran means halfway. And at 75, Abraham had gone halfway. Halfway. And listen, verse 5, and he brought him forth, abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's when we believe that he was at least saved there, maybe before, but we know he was saved there. Verse 7, and God said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Listen, Abraham believed him concerning the son. Abraham believed God concerning the land. And Genesis the 15th chapter, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, God made a covenant with Abraham. This is an unconditional covenant. Abraham didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, he was asleep when God made the covenant. We'll not go into it. We don't have the time. But he made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy what? Unto thy seed have I given this land. Now, who is the seed? It's not us. We are seed, in a sense, spiritual seed. But it's not referring to us. Unto thy seed have I given this land. It's not speaking necessarily of the Jewish people. Yeah, it is referring to them, but it doesn't say seeds. It says seed. So, it is referring to Christ. Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, which is the Nile River, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, there's a large area of land. The children of Israel have never had all of that land. There are other people there now. But God gave that land to Abraham, to his seed, gave it to Christ. And we learn in Revelation, the 5th chapter, that one day, may it be soon, Jesus is coming back. He's going to take the title, he's going to take it there. In the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, he's got it, and he's coming back to claim that which is rightfully his. From the river in Egypt, the Nile River, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He's coming back, and we believe that it will be soon. And we pray that it will be. More people are being born every day that's going to spend an eternity someplace. And while there are a lot of people around the world being saved, I believe there are more being born than there are being saved. Listen, Abraham believed the scripture concerning the gospel, and he was saved. He believed the scripture concerning the son. He believed the scripture concerning the land. And he believed the scripture concerning how a person is saved. And Galatians 3:8 said, and the scripture, listen to this, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Listen, the scripture, did you get it? The scripture, this book is alive. The scripture foreseeing, look, the scripture looked down into the future and knew that God would justify the heathen through faith. And the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Hey, listen, when Abraham believed, the scripture, when he lived, the scripture preached unto him the gospel and told him, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Listen, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Listen, how could Abraham, who lived hundreds of years before Jesus came, see it? I tell you, Abraham believed the scripture. He believed the Savior would come. He saw Jesus day by faith when the scripture preached unto him the gospel, and God saved him in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 6. Let's read that verse again. You listen to it. This is for you. And he believed in the Lord. He believed to the point of commitment. It's not just believing something in the head. It's believing to the point of commitment. and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's in the Old Testament. Galatians 3:6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's in the New Testament. You see, people in the Old Testament and people in the New Testament are all saved the same way. God has never had but one plan of salvation. And salvation is by grace through faith. And God is reaching out this morning for someone to come and do what Abraham did. Just simply place your faith and trust in the living Christ, and you will become entwined with God, and that longing in the heart will be satisfied. I pray that you would do it this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed. We stand with our heads bowed. We're standing with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're going to pray. And oh, my friend, we plead for your soul this morning. I have no way of knowing who is saved and who isn't saved. That's not my department, but it is my place to care. It is my place to make sure that you have an opportunity to turn to Christ and be saved. You know your heart. God knows it. And He's reaching for you this morning. He says, if you will believe, I will receive you. I will come into your heart. I will save you. You will be mine. You will become entwined with me, an inseparable union. That old account could be settled this morning. But oh, you have to let go and let God. Don't let pride keep you from coming. Our Heavenly Father, please save that soul that's closest to hell, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.